Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda! Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast that's suitable for all ages from... to... and everything in between. I'm Tiernan and I'm recording from a new location this week, listeners. Well, sort of. I'm still technically in Comedy Club for Kids HQ, but I'm just kind of several hundred miles beneath it, deep towards the centre of the Earth. I'm sure you guessed that, right? That's sort of the sensible place to be. And it took me a little while to dig this hole so far down, and I did annoy several worms, but here I am. How does it sound? Has it made this show even better? Is this show now much cooler? Even though by being near the centre of the Earth, it's actually much warmer. And wow, it really is. Who needs a jumper when your next door neighbour is lava? I mean, I guess that's my next door neighbour, but I only dug downwards, not across. So I don't actually know who my neighbours are. It could be that it's an ancient dinosaur ghost wizard or giant moles or probably just more worms were really, really annoyed at me. I mean, you'd think it would be quite hard to tell when a worm is annoyed with you, especially as it's not clear which end is which, is it? You know, are they angry, or is that just their bum? Are they eating with their bum, or is that their face? Which end wears a hat, and which end wears pants? It's so hard to know with worms, and yet I am pretty sure they were very annoyed by the way they wriggled aggressively at me every time I dug downwards, and then they left me a note saying, "We hate you," from the worms. Anyway, listeners, I'm sure you're wondering, how many sandwiches can I balance on my head? I mean, why are you wondering that? It's a really weird thing to wonder, though I reckon I can balance at least six. Unfortunately, all my sandwiches are 400 feet higher up at ground level because I forgot to pack them, which is it's awful. There's not really anything to eat down here apart from dirt and worms. Anyway, what you should be wondering, though, is why, oh why, Tiernan, did you dig such a big pit? Ah, good question. If that is what you actually asked. Linda, do you want to tell the listeners why I dug such a deep pit? Linda? Ah, yeah, she probably didn't climb down with me. Silly me. The reason is, though, that I dug this, that I heard some people thought this podcast was too ridiculous and said it needed to be more grounded, and I didn't understand what that meant, so I dug a really big pit. I also heard that things that are underground are, like, more cool and more, like... sort of like, you know, things that are too popular aren't really cool anymore. So if you're underground, you're really popular. So I thought, well, once I got in this pit, this show would be really underground and then maybe more people would listen. But I've no idea if it worked because I can't check because I'm in a pit. What I did do, though, was bring the mailbag down with me. So let's see. It's very dark down here. So torch on first. Ah, there you go. Let's see what's in the mailbag this week. Thanks to Turtle Kingdom in Australia for the nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And they say, "Hoi there, buddy. Bolly Bob, great podcast, buddy. Golly dog, red kettle." Wow. Thanks very much, the entire kingdom of turtles. I don't know if there's a specific turtle that writes for all the other turtles or if it is like the king of turtles that writes in. But I had no idea that all... those turtles listened. I really appreciate it. And also, I'd very much like to know what colour dog red is. Is it like Clifford the Big Red Dog Red? Or is it more of an Irish Setter Red Brown? Or is it the red that dogs can see, which means it's probably a grey, right? Or is it a red that a dog's read about? So it's like a dog red kettle is a kettle that a dog has read about in a book about kettles that is just for dogs. I don't know, but I'd love to know more. Thanks very much, Turtle Kingdom. Then we have another review from Joss the Boss. As before, I didn't realise I had a boss. I am hoping that Joss sends me my monthly paycheck very soon, so please hurry up with that, Joss. Joss says, "Hi, I'm Joss. Here is a joke. Which is the gassiest musical instrument? A trumpet." Yeah, I love it. I love it. Thanks, boss, for that absolutely excellent joke. It would be really horrible, wouldn't it, if people played trumpets and actual farts came out at the end of them. And I reckon it would make the rest of the orchestra really quite sick, too. Thanks very much, Joss the Boss. That is brilliant. And yes, please do send my paycheck soon. Thanks. I really need it because I'm stuck in a pit. If you have a joke that you'd like to send in or a question that you need to have answered, then please get your walking boo-boos, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk or leave a message for me on the Spotify Q&A for each episode. You can also leave the show a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Amazon Music, and if those same grown-ups would like to support this show and my new pit-digging enterprise, then they can sign you up for the advert-free Linda edition for a small monthly fee at Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus or Patreon. Please do also check out comedyclubforkids.co.uk for all of our live shows and everything else we do too. And I guess it's now time. I don't really know. I haven't got a clock down here and it's too dark to see my watch. So I guess it's the most important bit. You listen to that and I think I'll sit here in a pit. Wow, it is very, very dark. Back once again, it is the marvellous Ada Camp, a.k.a. Ada, who doesn't believe in the capital of Grenada, a.k.a. Ada Kimples, creator of the Museum of Dimples, and as all our horse listeners know you, but of course, Ada, you are very well known for your invention of anti-escape rooms, where people just have to stay indoors on the sofa for as long as possible, for knowing the most difficult to say word in the universe but refusing to tell anyone what it is, and most famously for being the only person ever to befriend a tornado and keep it as a pet. Ada, it's lovely to have you back. How are you doing?
I'm thrilled that you've read my full biography and introduced me appropriately. I'm good, thanks. How are you, darling?
Yes, I'm very good. Well, of course, the problem is your biography changes every time I see you. You've done even more remarkable things.
I know.
You are an endlessly busy person.
I'm verging on unbearable, but just verging on it. I'm avoiding the edge.
Yes. Can I just check? Being unbearable, that means it's not something that bears would do. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no, they don't have... No, my shoes wouldn't fit bears. So, yeah, definitely
right,
not.
Right, so you are a bit... So you are being unbearable.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Right.
Mostly from the feet up.
Right, sure. That's probably the best place to not be a bear. Is it? I don't know. They're quite good at walking.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want mud and sticks in my house. You know, if I've been walking the woods, I want to take my wellies off. I don't want to tramp all the little bits of twig through the house. Who would want
yes,
that?
That's true. And do you know what? I don't know. I don't want to ask about your... I wouldn't want to pry on your toenail cutting regime, but I think cutting toenails as a bear would be very hard because you've got big claws.
Yeah, and probably tiny toenail clippers are tiny.
Yes.
It'd be very hard to manipulate. Do bears have opposable thumbs? They probably do, don't they? They're very, very clever bears.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe a chum does it for them. Maybe there's a bear cooperative toenail clipping society. That has yet to be categorised by David Attenborough. Maybe they're filming it right now, Janan. David Attenborough is currently hiding in a tree, watching bears clip each other's toenails, and soon, in about 9 months' time, we will see this on our screens of a Sunday evening. And people listening to this will think back and think, absolutely, Ada had her finger on the pulse at last.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know what? I'm sure that's what's going to happen. I can't wait to see it, frankly.
Yeah, same.
I'm sure this is... just one of the many areas you're an expert in, absolutely.
And, I am.
and how apart from all your busyness, are you well? Are things good?
I'm good. I had a day trip yesterday to the seaside, and I went to a museum, and I loved it.
Well, I've got some important questions here. Was it a sandy seaside or was it a pebbly seaside?
It's a sandy seaside. It was Margate in Kent.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I went to the Crab Museum, which is
wow.
Europe's number one crab museum. and it's completely free to go to, and it's full of wonderful crab facts and splendid crab lies, and I enjoyed the whole thing. It was marvellous.
Whoa, hang on, there are crab lies? Yeah. What are the crab lies?
Well, I can't tell you, because that would spoil the lie.
Oh, that would spoil the lies.
But you see, there's not...
I didn't realise people lied about crabs.
Well, no, but they say, you know, you can't believe everything you read in museums, so there are a few lies scattered about. So you're encouraged to use your imagination and your skills and judgment. And the thing I liked very much was in the loo, there was a case, and instead of saying crab display, it said carb display. And there were packets of rice in there, and I enjoyed that very much. That's absolutely true. And I took a photograph of it while I was on the toilet. Multitasking, I bet. Bears can't do that.
No, you're very right. They can't do that. I mean, that's a lovely thing to have as well. And it also helps because then you really know how to spot what's a carb and what's a crab.
It's important.
And you don't accidentally overeat crabs or crab load, I suppose. People call it carb loading when they have lots of pasta at once, don't they?
Crab loading.
So could you crab load?
I think you could.
You carry lots of crabs?
Yeah, I'd like to. Now I've been to the Crab Museum, I don't want to munch on crabs anymore. I want to cradle them.
Yes, that's nice. Even though they're all snippy, even they're all pincery.
Yeah. And they've got wonderful eyes. There was a chap telling us all about their eyes. And I don't know if all of those were eye lies or eye truths, but it was extraordinary. And then he also told us a lot about bums and poo. And I thought, goodness me, he knows I'm going to be on Radio Nonsense and talking about poo and bums. Some urchins, not children, sea urchins,
right. Sea
urchins from the water, have crabs that live in their bums.
Oh, no,
it's
that's
true.
Horrible.
Absolutely true. Live in their bums. Yeah.
Why would they want to do that? That would be the worst place to live.
What, the crab? Because it's quite warm in there, and there aren't any predators, because presumably the whole area of water smells of poo, and they get to munch on poo. And they don't just live in urchin bums, they live in other bums as well, apparently. But they don't have to live in a bum. You see, this is curious. It's a choice, not a necessity.
It's a choice.
There's crabs swimming around the ocean looking for bums to live in, and I've learned things at the Crab Museum.
This is awful information. I mean, it's incredible. I can't believe there are bum crabs.
Yeah.
And they specifically, someone said, you know, hey, we've got this 2-bedroom apartment or a bum. And the crab's gone, I'll have the bum, please.
I'll have the bum. Yeah. Old school. Yeah.
I suppose it depends. Because, like, they're living in there. But what if, like, the sea urchin has a really hot curry or eats something that is going to be very bad the next day? Poor crab.
Well, I suppose the crab
burned alive.
Maybe the crab likes the edge of danger about the whole situation. See, the thing that I thought was interesting is that the crab eats so much of the poo that emerges from the urchin that eventually it becomes too big to leave the bum of the urchin.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, if you were too big to leave the bum and then the urchin had a body accident, then that would be problematic because you couldn't leave. You'd be trapped in the bum, you see.
And you'd... Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Then the urchin would just sort of be full of poo forever and explode in some awful
horrid. And I don't know if there's sort of an Airbnb urchin bum situation or even a house swap, a bum swap, where you can chat with another crab and in your what's claw group, whatever it is, and then, you know, swap bums for the day. I mean, the mind, Tiernan, boggles at this. As mine did.
I cannot believe... this is astounding. I have to say, I knew I was excited about talking to you today, as always, Ada, but I didn't know what incredible information we were going to learn about bum crabs.
And I'll level with you, Tiernan. I have told lies on this podcast before and done so gleefully.
What?
But this bum crab thing is absolutely true. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I'm slightly shocked you've told lies on this podcast where we only discuss the serious and plausible truth. But that is phenomenal. And I also, you know, I suppose we do have to sort of do we need to put any warnings out to listeners to not be, you know, don't be worried about crabs living in your bums or, you know, I'm slightly...
I don't know. How many urchins do you have listening to this podcast?
I don't know. We might have... I don't know what urchin listenership is. There is a rival podcast is called The Comedy Club for Squids, and they probably have quite a lot of urchin listeners.
Yeah.
Radio Squid Sense, they do. And
absolutely.
So, yeah, maybe it's there.
I mean, I don't want to be...
more for them.
Maybe I'm the first person to make such a crustacean revelation on this podcast. But I would say it's worth mentioning for your urchin audience. Mm-hmm. I would say if your audience are human or even part human, they probably don't have to worry about crabs in their bums, although I can't guarantee that nothing will be looking for a bit of a bum house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is an absolute revelation.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I also, you know, I know you say that there may be lies in this museum, but I don't feel they need to have... When you've got information like that, you don't need anything. They didn't need to tell you anything else.
No, agreed. And what I wanted from that was a hoodie. And they weren't selling those. But I bought a T-shirt and I got a sticker and I got a notebook and I got some amusing postcards. And I was determined to buy all the merch I could see. And I nearly did. But if they'd had a hoodie, I would have... They do have crab hats. You can buy a build-your-own crab hat. But I normally wear hats with feathers on. So I didn't need a crab.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And also, you wouldn't want to wear a crab hat and then next thing you know, like an urchin's bum is lowering onto your head.
Well, this is the thing. They were showing urchins that were very small. But I'll be honest, I've not really paid attention to urchins of most sizes. There could be an enormous urchin lurking over us,
ones.
looking to put me up its bum. And frankly, I don't want that.
I've got a comedy career to tend to. That would be an awful situation. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm fully aware that we've got other things to discuss. And
no, let's stay on
it. I am fascinated by this. So it's a museum. Were there very, very old crabs in there? Because I always think in a museum there has to be something old because it's a museum. Was there like a historical crab?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there were bits of crabs. Oh, yeah, no, there were. There were fossils. That's an old crab.
Oh, yeah, fossil crabs. That's old crab.
It's old. Well, it was the impression of an old crab. The crab has gone.
Oh.
Leaving its impression in the rock.
Right. An impression, not like somebody going, I'm an old crab.
No, that was
not
me.
Like they weren't doing an impression. Right.
They had a huge claw, sans the rest of the crab. They had, what did they have? They had enormous crabs. And then they had crabs that they dressed up. There was a suffragette crab holding a thing saying vote for women. There was a crab dressed as a policeman and a crab drinking a pint of beer.
Wow.
All these are truths, Dylan. All truths.
I love it. I'd have thought, I'm just thinking about crabs, how they'd hold a... I could see a crab holding a sign.
I saw one.
Yeah. I can imagine that with their pincers, though. Sort of, and holding, I think holding a glass of beer or a glass is, that makes sense as well.
And wearing a hat, wearing a very jaunty policeman's hat. Just delightful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's great. And is it, crabs can only move sideways, can't they? That's the thing.
Well, I've only ever seen one move sideways, but I don't know what they do when they're not watched.
Oh, that's true. They probably tap dance and do all sorts of pirouetting and all sorts of things.
Yeah, possibly.
Wow. And the staff weren't crabs, were they? Was it people that...
Well, they were crabs in human costumes, which is sort of horrifying now I've said that out loud. But they were crab enthusiasts, if not entirely crustacean themselves. But they said things like concrabulations, which was lovely, and have a... have a clawsome day, which was very pleasing.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
I got a sticker for having read a display and knowing that some bits of crab shell were made of the same stuff as mushrooms. And I said this to the chap and he gave me a sticker, which was just tremendous.
That's amazing. That's the best day. You've had the best day.
I have. And can I tell you something? This may get cut out, but I took a photo of it. So, you know, this is a free museum. I would like to say that. Often museums tell you, you know, please support us, please become a supporter of the museum. Well, there was a little note at the museum yesterday and it said you could be a lifetime supporter and also you could be in the next life a supporter.
What?
So, hang on. We're going to put... Oh, no, I found it here. This lifetime and the next. Can I read this aloud to you? This is verbatim.
Yes, please do. Yes.
For the bargain price of £420... you receive all of the above, all of the things you get if you're a friend of the museum, and immediate friendship to the museum on reincarnation. Then it says, Crab Museum takes no responsibility. If you come back as a dragonfly, that's on you.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
It's great. I hardly
that's
recommend
brilliant.
It.
So, I mean, I like the only thing I'd worry about then is, what if you came back in next life as a sea urchin with a crab up your bum? You maybe wouldn't want to support the crab. Oh, actually, maybe you'd want to support the Crab Museum. I'm just trying to think, what do crabs eat? What do they... What do they eat?
Minestrone soup, I think, mostly. That could have been a lie, yeah, so, but that was one of the
right,
displays.
Sure.
Yeah.
But well, okay, but then just say you came back as minestrone soup, then you probably wouldn't want to support the Crab Museum because you'd be like, I spend my whole life getting away from these crabs.
Maybe, although maybe one could go on a museum late when they'd already gone on to their second course and pass
oh,
the soup
good
course.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what? Now you say that, there's probably no reason, there's nothing you could become in a second life that wouldn't be crab supporting then, I guess.
I think it's about a positive mental attitude. You know, unless you came back as an irrational crab hater, which would be unfortunate.
Yes.
But frankly, then the Crab Museum would already have your money. So that would be your choice, your own prejudice, really.
Yes, that's true, isn't it? And if you came back as a crab, then, you know, look, you're already supported yourself.
Well, you could swan around the place in a sort of cape, presumably.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have won at
life.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Gosh, the museum sounds amazing. It's in Margate.
It's in Margate. Museum. It's completely free. I think it's only open at weekends. It's totally splendid. It's really, really good. And I went there just to go to the Crab Museum. And I went there. And I look at me bragging about it now. Over 24
hours
later.
You've made me so jealous. I've never been to a crab museum. I think one of the weirdest museums I've been to, a tin museum, which just showed different types of tins.
Oh, right.
And it was slightly more interesting than I thought. It is in Stavanger in Norway. And it's a little shack. And it just has, like, it's where we've made the first ever sardine tins. And then they have all the little tins. And it was interesting for 10 whole minutes. That was one of the weirdest ones I think I've been to.
Well, we're in the Crab Museum for, I mean, nearly an hour and a half, which considering it is essentially one room, is quite a long time. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Is there anything you wish, like, you know, is there anything there isn't a museum about that you wish there was a museum about?
Yes. Iced finger buns.
Right. but if there were... Now, I like this, and I would be keen to know as much about iced finger buns as possible. My worry is a museum with old iced finger buns, they're going to start going a bit horrible.
Well, but they should put one in their carb display at the Crab Museum,
yes.
Actually.
Yes.
Maybe after I've plugged them in on Radio Nonsense, they will insert an iced finger bun into their display case in honour of me. I'd like to know the history. I'd like to know who first decided to do that. I'd like to know the 12 differences between iced finger buns, hot dog buns and donuts. I'd like to know the Venn diagram between those things. I don't like eclairs, but I love an iced finger bun. I mean, it's the biggest thing. Yeah.
Hang on.
Go on.
Yeah, you tell me why. No, you're about to tell me why. No,
I was
going to
tell you the best place you can get iced finger buns,
okay,
in my knowledge, Plymouth Sainsbury's.
Right.
It's a long way to go. Whenever I've been to Plymouth to do a gig, I've always got into the Sainsbury's. They're fresh. The icing is voluptuous and generously drizzled. And I buy... you buy packs of four. I buy two packs of four, and then I walk up to the station, munching one of the packs of four. You see, I've learned this from experience. And then if I see anybody, any homeless person or somebody's begging, I give them the other packet of four. And if
That's
I don't
nice.
See anybody,
That's very nice.
Then I have one true packet of four.
You've done very well. I should, you know, some of the listeners to show aren't in the UK. Some of them might be in space. I don't really know. They're in all sorts of different places.
Yeah.
I should say that if they were to visit the UK, they now know Crab Museum Margate.
Yeah.
And then it's a bit of a trek along the coast, but then the Plymouth Sainsbury's.
Plymouth Sainsbury's.
For some iced finger buns.
Honestly, they're the best ever. Yeah.
You need to write a tourist guide, Ada. This is like these are the tips that people don't give when they read tourist guides. It's always, oh, go to the Tower of London or visit Buckingham Palace. These are the real gems in the country right here that people don't know about.
Sheffield is my other favourite place. Because someone once gave me some crisps for free. And it was unexpected and incredibly generous. And it only happened to me once, but forever I will love Sheffield for that reason.
Is that going to, like, again, my worry, if you plug that as somewhere to go, is everyone going to turn up there expecting free crisps? Do you think they'll get them?
Well, I don't know. I went there not expecting free crisps, and I got them. So anything is possible. Yeah.
Wow. I've been to Sheffield. Do you know what? I'm slightly angry. I've been to Sheffield quite a lot. I think I'm going again in July. I've never been given free crisps, and I... Wow. I feel a bit upset about
that. It's not you. I think I was just a very, very lucky pup on the day. Yeah. I was roaming around, not doing anything, and a lady came up to me with a clipboard, which was charming, and said, do you like crisps? And I'm not a monster, of course. I said, yes, I love crisps. And then she invited me up to an office room and presented me with plates of crisps and asked me to try them. And I thought I'd gone into some sort of fever dream or perhaps fainted away and was in a beautiful reverie. But no, I was in a room being asked to eat crisps, and then I had to rank the crisps on which ones I liked best. So I did that. Of course I did that. And then at the door to go back down the stairs into the world again, a bit like a Diagon Alley situation, she not only thanked me for coming in and eating the free crisps she'd invited me to eat, but she gave me, Tiernan, £1, a pound coin, a golden nugget in my left palm. And then I was deposited back onto the streets, the cobbled streets of Sheffield, feeling like I'd just won the crisp lottery.
My goodness, that is my ideal job. I think if anyone said, what would you do, what's your dream job? What you've experienced is my dream job, but every day.
I mean, I didn't even know that was possible. I mean, there are all sorts of things I don't know that are possible. But that one I didn't know was a thing, and having lived through it, I just loved it.
You have lived the best life. Honestly, I think that, you know, I hope that, you know, I know lots of listeners to this will have had to learn about famous people at school of like, oh, this person discovered this or this. But your life, just describing that, you've been to Sheffield, you've had free crisps.
Yeah.
You went to the Crab Museum.
I did.
You get ice buns in Plymouth.
Yeah.
Who can beat that? Forget this, you know, trekking across Antarctica or discovering the first dinosaur bones or any of that. Like, who can beat that? That is hard.
You know, it's appreciating the little things, isn't it? And taking joy, you know, in where you find yourself and the serendipity of life, frankly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about you? Where's your favourite place, Tiernan? Where have you been? Something exciting has happened to you.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I'm trying to think where I would have had something quite as good as getting free crisps. And I can't say, I'm not sure if that's ever happened to me. I need to...
Oh, darling, I wish that for you. And I'm sure that everybody listening to this wishes that for you. It doesn't have to be Sheffield. Let's get that out there.
Sure.
Any place where someone, we should shower you. Next time I see you, I'm going to shower you in crisps. What's your favourite flavour? What do you like?
Do you know, I'm quite boring. I'm a classic ready salted fan. I just love the plain crispy crispness of a ready salted crisp.
Same.
I also, controversially, quite like a paprika and obviously salt and vinegar are classic. But the just ready salted, a good ready salted crisp.
Ridged or not ridged?
Oh, my goodness. No, not ridged, but really crispy. Like the really, really fine. You know, like the when you get like posh crisps and they're really thin but super crunchy.
Yeah, very good.
That's it, yeah.
Very, very good. All right, I will note that down. Next time I see you, I shall shower you in ready salted pork.
And I like the sound of that, but also I am aware sometimes crisps are sharp and having a shower in crisps could be...
Not having a shower, that's a very different thing. Having a shower in crisps would be sort of art installation. I'd open a bag and throw it over you. That's all I would...
Oh, that's better, that's better. No, that's okay, that's fine. I'm in... That's great.
Your chances of external bleeding are small, I would say.
Yes,
I mean, never zero, but small.
Some crisps are very sharp. You just have to be careful.
Well, if not, I could eat the crisps and then just imaginary throw them over you, if you like. That would work for me as well, because I also...
And then I haven't had any crisps.
That's true. You'll have to brave the danger, Tiernan.
We'll work it out, yeah. And also, I need to say, a lot of listeners to the show who aren't in the UK, they know I talk about crisps a lot, but with... If you're in one of those countries that doesn't say it properly, we're talking about chips, which is not right because they're crispy, so they're crisps.
They are crisps. We can call them anything, really, but chips, I suppose, yes. Anything that comes in a big, brightly coloured bag, covered in salt, that I can fit all in my face in the space of about 25 minutes.
But chips, you see, like, because we, you know, fries, which we call chips, we call chips because if you were to chip a potato... Like how someone might chip a sculpture, or then you'd get a big fat chippy chip off
it. You'd carve a sculpture. Whereas, you wouldn't chip a sculpture.
Well, I would chip. I'd probably chip it. I'm not very good at sculpting.
You know, that surprises me, because I always had you down as a tremendous natural sculptor.
My secret skills. Yeah. It's one of my pastimes. I just make these huge sculptures of. Incredible, you know, like sort of ancient Italian ones, like
amazing.
Brilliant sculptures. But I'm just Not very good.
You could do a crab and then take it to market.
Oh my gosh. Well, now I've got new goals. You've given me so many new goals today.
It's a pleasure, frankly.
Yes. Yes. I was going to, oh, actually the one place, oh, what was it called now? There was a place in North London, a stately home that I remember visiting. And when I was there, I saw a squirrel eating an ice cream like a human does. Like it was holding the cone in its hands and nibbling the top. And that's up there, I think, with your, it's not as good as your Sheffield experience because I didn't get any ice cream or crisps, but that was really good.
No, I mean, visual pleasure is, you know, is thrilling. Yeah. You know, I had a taste sensation and a pound coin. Yeah. You saw a squirrel do something extraordinary, and I love that for you.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
Yeah.
Wow, Aida, I'm not sure. I have to say, I don't know how we're going to top, I don't know how we're going to top bum crabs, but, you know, you're here on this episode for a reason. I've got a question that I think you are the person that can answer it.
Oh, goody.
As always. But before I ask you a question, I've got to ask you some admin.
Yes.
And again, listeners, bum crabs may come up again. I don't know. I just want you to be prepared that the admin may not be as good as bum crabs. I don't think any episode's going to be as good as bum crabs. So let me ask you this. I've got two admin questions. The first one's, I don't know which one's harder, but look, we'll go through them. We'll see how you fare.
A lot of pressure.
I'm sorry. Yes. So question one, Aida.
Bum crabs. No, sorry.
No, not, well, it might be.
I panicked.
You may have already answered the question. I don't know. Question one is quite simply, what is this? And it might be bum crabs. I don't know. But
no, I think in this case, it's not bum crabs.
Right. Phew.
Yeah. I think what is this? It's a dachshund where the body is an iced fig bun. The head is a carved potato. The legs are twiglets. And the tail is a feather that I found. That's what it
That's
is.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful sculpture. You see, we're talking about sculpture skills.
Yeah.
But that is an incredible sculpture.
And I'd like to say that I did think that through. I do think four twiglets would support the weight of an iced finger bun.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
And the feather. I think the carved potato head is more problematic in terms of physics, but as this is a radio podcast and not a demonstration podcast, I'm going to get away with it.
Well, but you see, now, my curious thing, you use the ice finger bun as the body, very sensible.
Yeah.
Would you not use half an ice finger bun for the face?
No, that would be stupid. No. What? Where would the eyes be?
Well, but then you get to eat half the ice finger bun, and then you got the other half, you could use two little raisins as eyes.
I don't want raisins on an ice finger bun. What kind of manners is this?
I'm so sorry.
If you'd said chocolate chip, we could have a conversation. But right, raisins?
Chocolate chip, you know.
No, you planted raisins in my mind now. My mind is whirring with dried fruit.
Are you not, you're not a raisin fan?
I prefer a sultana.
Sure.
I mean, I can do a raisin, you know,
if
in extremis, if one finds oneself in a field, you know, with no other entertainment than a packet of raisins, I'll engage with that raisins.
You'll eat the raisins, that's fine, yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, sure, given a preference, I'd already hot-foot it to the sultana aisle every time.
Yeah, that's fair. Sultanas are a bit more exciting, aren't they? Yeah, okay, well, I didn't want to question your sculpting brilliance. As we've made clear, I'm not an expert sculptor, but I just would have thought the heavy potato head, you could have swapped it for another ice bun and had half the ice bun yourself, which would have been like a bonus.
Ah, but I've already said, you see, I buy them in packets of four. So if I've used one of the body, I've already eaten the other three. So I probably shouldn't have another half.
You have to go for a potato, yes.
Yeah, you have to have a potato. You've got to have carbs, you see. Carbs, we're back there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Starch.
Well, it's beautiful. I mean, starch, yes. Yes, it's a beautiful piece, and I don't think dachshunds, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not dachshund.
Well,
because it's like spelled dachshund, but it's not dachshund, is it? It's like dachshund.
Yeah, but it's also not a dachshund because it's made of potato, twiglets, feather, and iced finger bun.
Sure.
So frankly, you can pronounce it whatever way you like, baby.
A bunhund. Yeah.
Naya,
well,
I like
because you get sausage dogs. You've gone for a nice bun dog.
A bun dog.
A bun dog.
I've heard of gun dogs, but never bun dogs.
Bun dogs.
Bun dogs are much friendlier than gun dogs, surely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's lovely. And I suppose if you had the right sort of bun dog, then you could have a sausage dog sit on top of it, and then you've got a sausage in a bun.
I love that so much. Mm. And then all you need is a bit of ketchup. Yeah.
Yeah, need a ketchup dog. Yeah. Yeah.
This is great. This is great. I'm almost tempted to start a pop-up this afternoon.
You dealt with that so quickly, so expertly. I mean, I know I shouldn't have expected anything less, but that was fantastic.
Thank you, darling.
Question two.
Yes.
This might be harder, but let's see how you go.
Brace.
And it's interesting, actually. It sort of plays back to a little bit about what we were talking about before. But question two is, would you rather any time you went near a machine of any kind, it exploded, or every time you went to eat your favourite food, it turned out to be Play-Doh?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Isn't it terrible?
What counts as a machine in this scenario? Would my toaster explode?
Yes. Everything that's a machine. Even those little type of music box things. Anything that has cogs or...
Anything with cogs would explode when I approached it.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I think in order to avoid having ice finger buns turn into Play-Doh, I just have to live an entirely analog lifestyle and never go near machines again.
Because you couldn't cope with having... Because you want your ice finger buns more than you want machines.
No, but you've presented me with an impossible scenario.
Well, yeah, this is necessary admin. I can't, I can't help the questions. What if Play-Doh is edible? That's the only thing.
Why, who eats Play-Doh apart from naughty toddlers who then get told, take that out of your mouth?
Yeah, they do, but they still eat it.
And yeah, that way, craziness lies. Toddlers do all sorts of mad things that I don't want to do. I mean, I want to do some of those things, but not all of them.
Yes. Yes, like painting with potatoes and all those. Those are fun. But, or sitting in a sandpit all day. There's some good things I get to do. But what I was going to say is, like, maybe you could mentally, if you believed the ice bun you're eating was a real ice bun while you ate Play-Doh, you wouldn't get that sick. You might get a bit sick, but not that sick. And then your machines wouldn't explode.
Well, I'd rather just not be near machines. I could get a chum to do all my machine adjacent stuff for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd have to communicate how, like, they wouldn't even be able to call you on a phone or anything. They'd have to tell you how they did it by pigeon or something.
Well, that sounds rather jolly.
Yeah, it's quite fun.
I'm up for a bit of pigeon chat.
Yeah.
I've got quite a loud voice anyway, so I could call for the pigeon. Yeah. And then I could share my ice bun with the pigeon as payment for the ferrying backwards and forwards of messages. I think it'd be rather jolly all round. True. Yeah.
That does sound quite nice, actually. And people complain that too many things are machines now, so
exactly.
Maybe you'd be living a much happier life.
I can imagine myself sitting there with a pigeon chum, munching an ice finger bun, and I don't see anything wrong with that pigeon.
Wow. That's lovely. I like that. I think other people would have found that question harder. You've come to a conclusion pretty quick, actually.
I think it's probably because we started talking about ice finger buns, so I've got that uppermost in my mind.
Yes, yeah.
There isn't a machine that is as delicious as an ice finger bun.
That's true, actually, isn't it? That's true. Even though there's machines that are called like Apple Max, but they don't taste.
They're not real apples. This is the thing.
No, they're not tasty at all, are they? No, good point. Very good point. Wow. Well, thank you. You stormed through that one as well. Well, thank you. Now we can attend to the important question.
Oh, good.
The very important question. So, Ada, this has been sent in by Oscar, who is aged 11 cheese balls. Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the cheese ball age ratio. I think that means he is maybe 33.
Right.
I think.
Possible. I'd gone, maths now, imperial metric. I can't remember the conversion rate between cheese balls and years anymore. How many months is a cheese ball nowadays?
It depends on where you are in the world, actually, I think.
I would look it up, but if I go near a machine, it'll explode.
Yes, that's a very good point. No, I think it depends on where you are in the world and the size of the cheese balls.
No, okay. All right, I'll take your word for it. 33 sounds reasonable enough to me.
I'm just going for a guess here. I could be wrong. And Oscar, if I am wrong, then please do send in a correction based on, I'm not sure what the cheese ball equivalent would
be. That would be, three then,
that,
wouldn't it? It'd be 3 years per cheese ball.
3 years per cheese ball.
Is that right? That's right. My math's gone wrong.
Yes. Yeah. But you see, I'm assuming he's like one of those huge, like big, like Gouda, huge giant balls of cheese.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, which they have to be matured and aged over time until they're ready. Whereas it could be that he means those tiny little crisps called cheese balls that are like little cheesy puffs.
I suppose you can make any cheese into a ball. You could fashion Cornish yarg into a splendid ball if you wanted.
It's a good cheese. Cornish yarg is a good... You could do that. And yeah, and yes, that's very true. You could any cheese you like, and some of the squidgier kind of more awful plasticky cheeses are quite easy to squelch.
I wouldn't want to play rugby with a brie as a ball, because you'd fall on it and everything would squish.
Yeah, you need a very solid cheddar, I think, for that.
Yeah, I think so. Like a really, what's that, Montgomery cheddar.
Yes.
That would be if you're very smart. Yes. You'd play rugby with a ball made of Montgomery cheddar.
Yes, that'd be good. Well, where is it in the world? It's in Gloucester, isn't it, where they roll a big cheese wheel down a hill.
Yeah, cheese
and
wheel.
Everyone has to chase after it, but then a lot of them get injured and things because it's very slippy.
Yeah.
But they get a big cheese wheel.
I don't think they run down that hill at any other time of the year because it would be stupid. No. They just do it to chase the cheese.
Yeah, it's important. You want to get a cheese, a massive cheese.
Do you win the cheese if you go to the bottom?
I believe so. I believe that's all you win. Yes, that you just get the cheese and a broken arm. Or whatever.
Cheese and a broken arm. See you next year, everyone.
Yeah. But what I would think is, because it's a cheese wheel, I wonder if you end up going every year and after 4 years you collect 4 cheese wheels, maybe you get a cheese car to put the wheels on.
Probably. You probably get a loyalty cheese. Mm. Probably get a free cheese if you've won 4 in a row.
A free cheese.
At which point you don't want any more cheese.
Because you've got too many cheese. And also all your arms and legs are broken. You can't eat the cheese.
That's true. So everyone gets cheese for Christmas.
Yes.
And birthday. And Easter.
Yeah.
And Valentine's Day. And all the celebratory days. In fact, there's probably a National Cheese Day. I would look it up, but I can't go near machines, as we've previously discussed.
Yes. I mean, I would argue those are all better gifts for most of those celebrations than a lot of the rubbish people give each other.
Deary me. Do you think so?
Well, just like... Well, like Valentine's Day, everyone goes, oh, here's a heart-shaped, like, you know, whatever. Like, give them a big wheel of cheese, right? That's real love.
Okay, great. Yeah, why not? Yeah, I'm up for that. Unless they don't like lactose, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes, yeah.
Good. Although you can get lactose-free cheese. I went to Spain and they had lactose-free brie. I cannot find in England. So any of your overseas listeners, if they go into a supermarket, whatever they are, or a hypermarket, and they see lactose-free brie, I want you just to think of me, chum, because I wish that's I was there. I'd buy it if I could see it.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, I didn't know normal brie had toes, but now I've learned something different.
Yeah. It makes it easy. If you take the toes off, it makes it easier to spread.
Right, yes, that makes sense. That makes sense, yes.
And it smells less cheesy.
Yeah. Right, of course it does, instantly. Yeah, so a lactose brie is just sort of a less cheesy brie, but it won't run away.
But I still wouldn't play rugby with it.
No, I wouldn't. No. It'd still be awful for that. Well, that's how old Oscar is. Anyway, that's what we...
I'm glad we've established. Hello, Oscar.
Oscar has asked this question, and I'm going to try and read this how he's written it, because every second letter is in capitals and every first letter is in... So, the first letter is in little letters.
Okay.
And then every other letter is in capitals.
Oh, gosh, Alex.
So
really?
The question is written like this.
All right, I'm picturing
it. It's quite simply... Are you ready? Are you ready, Aidy? Are you ready for this big question?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay. The question is, banana! Banana! Question mark.
Your voice has gone very high there. That was unexpected.
It did. Well, that was, I was trying to read it as it was written.
Was it written in a high pitch?
Well, I think when you've got little burr, big ah, little n. Big ah, little n, big ah. You've got to kind of,
What if you go? What if you go deep for the big R's? As if it was like that.
Oh, okay.
Try it. Try it. Go on.
Like, is that better? Is that?
It's different. It's different.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. Is that...
I like it very much.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, like then, in which case, then make that the way I've said it. If that changes how you might answer it.
Yes, it would desperately change it. First off, I love writing on bananas with a pen, obviously. Mm. But I've never written on a banana or indeed a banana. But I suppose the implication of the capital A's makes me think of two things. Mm-hmm. One thing is a ladder, obviously, Ada, because a big A looks like a ladder. Mm-hmm. Not a ladder, but it could be. And the other thing it makes me think of is dominoes. Giant dominoes, like on the Gladiators program. Not that they have them there, but I'm imagining that in my mind now. I'm imagining lots of people
they should have,
in Lycra who have to push down dominoes and the contestants are in between. And the big A's are the dominoes.
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking of. It's come to me there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great Gladiators game. So hang on, the contestants have to escape being squished by the dominoes, or they have to hold the dominoes up?
They have to escape being squished.
Wow, that's good. Because in my head, I thought when you first mentioned it, I assumed the contestants would be pushing over the dominoes and the gladiators would stop being, you know. But actually, I like the way round you've got it, where the gladiators just push the dominoes over and the contestants have to not get squished.
The gladiators could be in domino costumes because they're all very big anyway. They could be dressed as giant rectangles and the contestants have to wrangle them into a line, arrange them beautifully, and then push them over within 30
That's
seconds
lovely.
With the music going,
yes.
boom, ta, boom, ta, boom, ta, boom, ta, boom, ta.
But they have to be in number order. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's what this makes me think of.
Yeah. And that's what you think. Is that what Oscar's asking with Bernard? Like, when he says, is he actually saying what would be an excellent game for the rebooted Gladiators show?
I mean,
in your opinion,
I think it's a distinct possibility. It's what sprung to mind for me. Everybody would respond differently. I also think the ladders scenario is rather jolly, but slightly more dangerous, I would say.
Well, my concern is that bananas are notoriously slippy. I don't know if I'd want a banana ladder because it would be really dangerous.
It would be hard, wouldn't it? It would be soft. Yeah, it would be tricky.
Yes, yeah, it would be, yeah.
Or you just cover a ladder in banana.
Also very dangerous.
Very dangerous and very squishy. But also maybe better for gladiators, actually. If the gladiators were themselves dressed as dominoes, on ladders, covered in bananas, they'd have to cling on with their lovely feet, and then the contestants just come along, cackle maniacally, and push them over in order within 30 seconds with the music going boom, ta, boom, ta, boom, ta, boom. I'd be cheering from the sofa.
Oh, me too. That sounds like an again. Do you know what, Aid? Why haven't you got a job creating games for gladiators? Because so far you've come up with two of the best, the best games that they could have had.
So I'm sat right here, grinning about crafts.
Yes,
munching ice finger buns. Get me hot foot me to Birmingham or whatever it is, and I shall design you some game.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'd like to see both of those.
Same.
The banana ladder and the giant domino. Well, the giant dominoes on ladders as well. Are we going for the combo game?
I think that's
the finale.
Yeah, I think that would be a semi-final and finals. Yeah. I don't think in the heat that wouldn't be fair.
No, that's true. No, too difficult, actually.
Too difficult. Too difficult. If that's not what Oscar meant, then I haven't got a clue.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Do you think, I just to go back to, you know, if you were a gladiator, do you think you'd be called Banana?
Well, I'm tempted now to be called Bum Crab, to be honest with you.
Bum Crab. Yes, that's a terrifying gladiator.
I don't know what my entrance music would be.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to exit from a giant sea urchin.
Oh, that would be great. Bum. That would be great.
Yeah.
A sea urchin comes on and it expels me through its bum. Yeah. I land in brightly covered lycra onto a lovely big crash mat and I pose for the crowd.
Yes,
perfect. And the crowd goes wild.
Yes.
Bum crab is here!
Yes, and then it'd give like your... your cool little details. It would say things like, bum crab likes a nice bun. You know, things like it would give like cool information about you.
Bum crab is utterly clawsome. And then I'd go from side to side doing funny claw acting like that. It would be great. And then someone would make a figure of me that went from side to side doing funny claw acting, and I would buy 16 and have them in the living room lined up and then hide amongst them so people wouldn't know if it was me or the figure.
I like that. That would be great. I already feel like there's a whole... I hope Oscar watches Gladiators. If he doesn't, this is going to be very confusing. But I feel like Gladiators is a programme that I really enjoy, and we watch it every Saturday. I sit down with my daughter and we watch it Saturday night TV. But I would love it more if Ada Camp did Gladiators and was in charge of all the games.
I think it could be jolly fun to have a sort of cabaret comedy version of it. I watch it very late at night because I'm normally working on a Saturday night. I'm doing a show. I get in, but I cannot bear to go to bed without having watched Gladiators.
Yeah.
So I often am watching Saturday Night Gladiators at about 1 in the morning.
Wow, super late.
Yeah. And I have to watch it before I go to bed. So I'm already watching it in a state of mild hysteria because I'm so tired. And compelled to watch it. So I think that's the perfect time for thinking up slightly unusual games.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It's great. Well, fantastic. As I said, I'm not entirely sure what Oscar's age was in Cheeseballs, but maybe he is the producer of Gladiators and maybe this is your job interview.
Ooh, fingers crossed.
For all we know, he'll obviously have to send you a message by pigeon, but for all we know, you'll get one in the post pretty soon.
That'll be amazing. Sign me up, Oscar. I'd be great. That'd be great. Or I could just do the warm-up games where I just smear everything in bananas, run around cackling, and then skip off back into the sea urchin's bum.
That would make that last task of the eliminator particularly. Would people have to go on the balance beam if you've already smeared it in bananas? It would be, and the wall, where people have to climb up the wall and it's covered in bananas.
It would be great. You know that final thing with the travelator, when they run up the travelator, they grab a rope and then they smash through a paper sort of thing. What would be great is if on the other side of the paper thing, there were two sea urchin bums. So they run up the travelator, they grab the rope, they smash through the paper, they are immediately absorbed into the sea urchin bum.
Wow.
And then whoever makes it to the next round is released on the next go.
The only thing you would have to then call the whole show Crabbiators. You'd have to.
Let's do a spin-off.
Yes, I'm fully in. Wow. Look, honestly, Ada, it's been... I've been so pleased to get you back on the show. It's so lovely to speak to you again. But also, I genuinely feel some of the ideas that we've spoken about today are going to be world-changing.
Well, I mean, fingers crossed. And thank you so much for having me on. I'm delighted. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here chuntering away to myself about it. It's a treat to get it out of my brain and into yours, frankly.
The whole world needed to know about bum crabs, and you have you have told them.
Yeah.
And I hope that every listener to this show gets to Margate.
Go there.
And specifically asked to see the bum crabs.
Yeah, and tell them why you know about them. It's because of me.
Yeah.
I got a sticker. That's the most important part.
Yeah, that is very important.
And yes, I am a grown woman, but I still got a sticker for knowing things.
Stickers are never not exciting.
Give grown-ups more stickers. People only give kids stickers. You ever offer a sticker to a grown-up and their little eyes will light up in utter amazement and delight. Yeah, give stickers to grown-ups.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a good phrase to end on there. Well, thank you so much, Adrian, and hopefully we'll get you back on. I hope that next time we speak to you, you've been to some remarkable museum and learned about something we all need to know.
Okay, I'll do my best for you. Thank you very much indeed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much to Ada Camp for taking time away from learning about crabs that live in sea creatures' butts to answer Oscar's very important question. Oscar, I do hope you liked your answer. And if not... Why not give it to a crab and it can... I just don't know if you'd ever want that letter again. I definitely wouldn't read that complaint because it'd probably been up a sea creature's butt. Anyway, if you have a question that you need to have answered, or you just want to send in anything else at all, then please ask your walking boo-boos, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk or leave a message on the Spotify Q&A. Don't forget, you can also leave the show a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Amazon Music. And if your grown-ups would like to support this show, then they can sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition for just a very teeny, teeny amount of money per month at Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus or Patreon too. And check out our comedyclubforkids.co.uk website for all information on all the other Comedy Club for Kids things that we do. And that's it, really. I've just been sitting here in this pit in the dark, and there's not really much else you can do here. You sort of have to sit. I can't say I think it's made the show any better. Has it? Is it better that I'm doing it from a pit? Do you want to let me know? A letter? How did someone deliver it to this big pit? Oh, I guess I'd better check it. To Tiernan, address the pit. Oh, I guess it is for me then. Okay. Dear Tiernan, why are you trying to steal our podcast ideas? Stick to your own usual nonsense, you bag of idiot heads. Love from the Comedy Club for Pits. Comedy Club for Pits? What is that? I wonder if they only like really deep jokes. Ugh. Well, I can't believe I'm not even allowed to sit in this pit anymore without someone complaining. I guess I'd better get out then. What is it you need to get out of a pit? A ladder? I didn't pack one of those. A rope? And I didn't pack one of those. Does someone want to post me something to help? I guess I live in a pit now. Bye!
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio nonsense, radio nonsense, radio nonsense, radio nonsense, radio nonsense. It's the end.